Thanks for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. I'm your host, Slade Robertson. For 11 years, I've been a professional intuitive and the author of the blog Shift Your Spirits, where I try to write about spirituality with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. Today, I'm sharing a personal story about a trance channeling event I attended in 2006. And of course, as always, there's an oracle segment at the end of the show. So be thinking about a question or a concern you have, hold it in your mind, and I'll come back on after the final links and credits and leave you with that extra message. This is episode 36. We have now completed 3 full seasons, spring, summer, and fall. If you're listening each week in real time, then this is a season finale episode. My rhythm in producing the show so far has been to take a tiny break every 12 episodes. It's not a hiatus like television. I just skip a week, which is extremely helpful for both Linda, who produces the transcripts, and myself to catch up a little bit and get ahead on the next set of episodes. Before I forget, I've been looking for strategies that will allow me to scale my intuitive practice. The last few months were gloriously busy with readings and mentoring clients. I'm super grateful and happy to have a lot to do, but I realized it's hard to maintain that level of busyness. I don't have enough time. If someone had sent me 10 more fantastic, ideal clients, I would have had nowhere in my schedule to put them. This is not sustainable anymore long term. It's a bit of a plateau. It's nice, but I need to figure out how I can serve more people while reclaiming some of my time. And in the past, I've simply raised my rates and done fewer readings. But you know, honestly, I'm at the point where I don't feel comfortable just making the readings more expensive. I don't think they should be more expensive than they are. I know a lot of my peers charge even more money than I do, and this is not an issue of my self-worth or something. I've changed my rates over the years, and I'm comfortable being financially supported for doing this work. The only thing I have issue with is time. When I first started out my practice, I offered email readings, but I soon evolved to doing them on the phone, and I really like talking to you guys, so several years ago, I just simplified to doing phone readings only. Well, so when I interviewed Erin Pavlina a few weeks back, I hadn't been connected with her in a long time, and I noticed that she was doing email readings again. I intended to ask her about it off the broadcast, and she even brought it up on the show. So anyway, we got into a little bit of a conversation about it, and she explained to me how offering email readings again, because she went through the same process as me, was actually allowing her to do tons more readings and make them less expensive. So I was convinced. I told her, just so she'd know that, you know, you actually brought through a message for me about how to scale my practice. So I checked and I still had the email reading in my shopping cart. I just had to turn it back on. So if you have not been to my readings page in the last few days, go check out my new offering. I'm hoping I won't get bombarded because I've guaranteed a 3-day turnaround time and a half price rate. If we run into a stampede at the beginning here, for the record, I may have to negotiate those turnaround times just for a week or so. Just know, if you've wanted to get a reading from me in the past and you felt like it was out of reach financially, or that you needed an answer more quickly than my schedule typically allows, go to sladeroberson.com/readings and see if this will work better for both of us. I'll try it out for a month or two and see what happens. I have a feeling this could change everything and allow me to do readings for even more of you guys. I'd like to say a quick thank you to Sean Locke, Meredith Brown, and Jennifer Pepper, my newest supporters on Patreon. I appreciate all of you who have pledged your support, and I'm really excited to see the new names each week. It demonstrates that you're enjoying the show and you want it to continue. That's very encouraging to me, so thank you. Listeners who support the show on Patreon can access bonus Q&A episodes where you guys send in questions, I record answers to them, and they go out to patrons of the show exclusively. There's also a level of support with a free guided meditation, messages from your spirit guides. To find out how you can become a patron, support my time in producing this show, and access the extra bonus content, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. That's patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. And yes, I accidentally said Patreon because I listen to a British podcaster all the time and she pronounces it that way. But I think we say Patreon here in the States. This week, I wanted to share some personal memories about a trance channeling event I went to back in 2006 and how the message I received helped affirm for me that I was supposed to follow this path, writing and speaking about spirituality, and ultimately becoming a professional intuitive. After recording my interview with Frank Butterfield about channeling, episode 35, it was a very cool episode, be sure to check that out. Talking about the subject made me recall a story that I don't think I've ever blogged about that I wanted to tell about my sort of origins in becoming a professional intuitive and how I started Shift Your Spirits. And I've talked about a lot of how this all started for me in the very first episode of this podcast called The Origin Story. I believe it's episode either 00 or 01, but if you go all the way back to the beginning, you can listen to that episode. Following my stroke, I had started to call in spirit to sort of help me recover physically. I noticed that there were a lot of issues in my environment. There wasn't a lot of feminine energy or nurturing energy, not a lot of water element. And so I was trying to correct a lot of these things while simultaneously receiving messages and seeing a lot of signs and synchronicities. There were books, you know, that I've talked about that were seemingly left for me very mysteriously and almost impossibly left for me. I became something of a shut-in at that time. I think I've mentioned that and admitted to that. There was really nothing left for me at that point in my life other than to kind of do some of the things that I'd always wanted to try. I couldn't go back out and really look for a real job because my face was paralyzed at the time. And I really didn't want to leave the house. And so I really retreated inward and, you know, not only in a sort of a spiritual quest or even in the healing quest, but just in the activities that I started to turn to more seriously, which was a lifelong desire to write and publish. And my guides had already sort of been telling me that I needed to write about the experiences that I'd had throughout my life with paranormal stuff in particular. And I was playing around with writing those articles. I was a lifelong journaler, so I was doing lots of diaries and morning pages and gratitude journaling and like all that stuff, trying to sort of tap into something to help me through, really, to get through and to get to the next level. And I felt free at that point to just kind of, you know, say, oh, well, you know, what else can I do but to try some of these things that are only mine. They're only under my power. They're within me. They're essentially words that I need to get out. And I started to look into the idea of how people were publishing online. And this is right around the time that blogs started to come on the scene. At the time, it was mostly Movable Type and maybe Blogger had already been started. But I had this idea for a blog. It came in sort of fully formed to call it Shift Your Spirits. It was like a title that was whispered to me. And there was an experience with the Mother Mary archetype that I still have yet to tell. And I've been teasing that since the beginning of this podcast. And since the beginning of this blog, I've been talking about, okay, there's this whole thing that went down with Mary that's, you know, super significant and why I'm doing all this. And I keep promising that I'll get to it. And I have a bit of a block around it. I think maybe I'm afraid to tell it wrong. It's such a good story. It's such an important story. And it's one of the biggest procrastinations of my life, which is to tell that story. And maybe I just need to tell it more frequently. And then that way there can be a lot of different versions of it and it'll all even out together. But I feel this sense of duty to really do the story justice and to not blow it in one of these kind of off-the-cuff podcast episodes where I'm just sort of recalling something on the fly. So as I'm giving in to the idea generally in my daily life of just conversing with these entities that are speaking to me and, you know, channeling these kind of messages that are coming through. And when I say challenging, I mean channeling, I mean more automatic writing, probably specifically. But, you know, I keep hearing this message that keeps getting repeated. It keeps getting typed on the page. I keep hearing it sort of whispered to me. I hear it in dreams. And the message is, you are already everything you've ever wanted to become. You fulfill your life purpose with every breath you take. And I kept asking for my purpose, right? I'm in this really, really low point in my life, and I'm really asking a lot of existential questions. What am I doing here? You know, how do I do something purposeful and meaningful? And when I would ask, I would get this answer: you're already doing it. You already fulfill your life purpose just by being here. And that was both sort of encouraging and frustrating at the time. My feelings around that message have evolved over the last 10 or 11, 12 years, something like that. It's one that keeps coming up, and you'll hear me repeat it. If you read a lot of what I write or listen to a lot of these episodes, it comes up over and over again. So it's had some staying power. Anyway, this is all happening still many months before I posted those first few articles on this blog called Shift Your Spirits. And I was still living in Atlanta. I was building websites for other people, like as a job, as a business. And when I tell that story of sort of taking my last $35 and buying a domain and starting a website, it was specifically intended to be a digital publishing company. And as I learned to publish myself, you know, learned HTML and CSS and PHP and all these programming languages and how to put things online and how to do email marketing, I found that I actually had a potential business in helping other people publish online and, you know, either doing it for them or building those platforms for other people. I didn't really have the content yet. I mean, I knew that I had this inkling and this message that I was supposed to write about my paranormal experiences throughout my lifetime and do this sort of blog concept. But I learned a lot from just the people who hired me to do it for them. So I was able to exercise a lot of my skills around web development and marketing and all that stuff, just doing it as a freelancer for other people. And it was super expensive living in Atlanta. It had always been sort of almost out of reach after the Atlanta Olympics in 1996. It was really a struggle for me to kind of stay within the city at that level, like for rent and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, here I was trying to work for myself. I was essentially a little bit of a shut-in, and almost all the money that I was making was just going into paying my rent. And I sort of hobbled along for a few years as I was healing from the paralysis. But I reached a fork in the road, you know, where it was really like, to stay in Atlanta, I was going to have to give up working for myself and go, you know, try to get a job or bartend or do something. And I was really too old to be bartending again. I was, you know, in almost in my middle 30s, I think, at this time. So to continue working for myself, one of the things that was a possibility was just to move back home to my family home in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is just a few hours north of Atlanta, but it's where I went to high school and where my family lives and where I live now. At the time, you know, this was back right at the beginning of 2006, and it was not an easy choice for me by any means, but it was the right one, obviously. It allowed me to continue working for myself and doing my business, and I was finally able to just kind of make that last ditch stretch, that attempt to put my own content out there. And within 6 months, I had started publishing and blogging Shift Your Spirits, and people were writing to me and asking me to do readings, and the whole thing really took off from there. So to get back to the story about the trance channel, toward the end of my time living in Atlanta, I became friends with a man named Brand, who, come to think of it now, I suspect may be another of these stranger angels, like the one called Jesse that I talked about in an other earlier series of podcast episodes. I'll link to those in the show notes if you haven't heard those episodes. Essentially, a stranger angel is someone who comes in who possibly is not human, and they're there to kind of offer direction and support and then kind of mysteriously disappear. So anyway, it's possible that Brand is one of those entities. Our conversations always revolved around metaphysics and the nature of the universe, and we would stay up all night discussing many of the topics that you hear me talking about now. And it was kind of like, you know, he was my audience of one on what I had to say about all this stuff, and also encouraging me and asking questions that caused me to explore and happen upon some new discoveries myself. So there's no doubt that he had an impact on the decision to move forward with doing this spirituality blog that I had come up with. So when I left Atlanta, I gave away everything. I threw a lot away. I lost a lot unintentionally, almost all the photos and writing from my 20s, from when I was in college. Everything it's gone somehow. My brother inherited a lot of my stuff. I still see bits and pieces from my past sort of winking at me from corners of his house when I visit him and his wife and my baby nephew. Everything else I owned worth keeping, which to me was my computer, my clothes, and my books, I stuffed those in my car, and I literally intended to just drive away with what I could get in my car and just go home and figure it out from there. And so the day before I was going to leave town, Brand asked me to go to an event with him. It was for a trance channel called Dr. Meg, and I already actually had intended to go by his house because I had to drive by his house to sort of leave town. And, you know, he suggested that, well, on your way out, just stop here. You can leave your car at my place. I'll drive us out to this suburb where this event was happening. And, you know, if you want to, you can come back and leave from my place, or you can even stay the night and leave in the morning. And I was exhausted from moving, right? Like that last frantic day that you spend trying to empty everything out of a rental and clean it up so you can get your deposit and all that. There's always that one little pile of crap that you're like, oh, you know, getting stuff with the dustpan. And I had been through, you know, a whole day and a half of that by the time that I even got my car stuffed and was, you know, driving by his house. And at that point, I kind of did need to just stop and rest. So anyway, I thought, what the hell? I wasn't so much drawn to the idea of this event as I wanted to do it for a Brand as a kind of goodbye. I knew that I would not be back anytime soon. It was actually years before I returned to the city. I did not ever see him again physically after this time. And so I think I sensed that that was going to be the case. And he seemed really excited about this trans channel event. And he really wanted me to be there. It was very important to him. So I didn't even really know where he was taking me. It was dusk in February. I think it was the day before Valentine's. We were on our way out to the burbs. It was like Conyers or Roswell. Actually, I should have looked that up. I could probably find out exactly where it was. But he had these two women friends of his that decided to come along with us. And I'd never met them before, never seen them before. And suddenly I'm just in this car with them driving into the burbs at night, exhausted and going to see a trans channel. And I didn't even really know what that meant or what to expect. So we parked at some kind of house that had been adapted into maybe like a counseling center. It was in a residential area. I remember that there was even a kitchen and someone greeted us at the back door to this house. And we were asked to make a donation upon entry. I think we gave like $20 a piece or something to come in and participate. And we were shown through the house into this large empty room. It was like a rec room or a classroom or a day room that had sort of had all the furniture either emptied out or pushed to the walls. The light was really dim. There was intentionally no overhead light on. It was just kind of ambient light coming in from the windows that were, you know, the blinds were down. And there was a folding chair at the front of the room, and then there were rows of chairs arranged in a kind of semicircular arc facing this chair. So there were maybe a dozen or more people already in the room. I think when we came in, we probably brought the total to around 20 people, maybe. It was very hushed in there. A few people were kind of murmuring, you know, and having a quiet conversation. Some were just sort of sitting and waiting. There was a very expectant vibe. I could sense that there was a lot of excitement, kind of like when you go to a concert or something. There were obviously people there who, like John, were really just beside themselves, excited for this. And I didn't know to be excited. I didn't know what I was doing there. So I was just like, okay, this is interesting. And the cool thing about that moment is I'm coming into this room and I'm sitting down, and that was actually the first moment in my life where I realized that I wasn't the only one who had these spirit guides, these entities, these angels standing around them. All these other people had them too. And it was that moment where it was a true epiphany, and I realized, like, oh, maybe everyone has them. You know, I could sense them, I could almost see them standing at the back of the room behind us, really tall, impossibly tall entities. You know, I describe the what I call the angelic entities as being sort of like 7, 8, 9 feet tall, and some people refer to them as extraterrestrials. I honestly don't know which is which, because in my sort of personal cosmology, I could make an argument that angels are extraterrestrial. So anyway, I could definitely sense that there were entities like this in the room. They were all around the perimeter, just all around us. And the feeling was almost like nannies with a bunch of kids at a play date. We were the charges, and, you know, we had these adult beings that were guiding us there and that had brought us there. And there was a feeling that they were proud of us for being there. I don't know why that is. It's just an impression that's always stuck with me. So I knew then that we all had these guides. I could tell you for sure. Maybe there were a few people in there that didn't have them, but there were so many of them present that it just felt like, okay, this is everybody's, right? But many of the people in the room were also, quote unquote, like me, meaning they were psychic in some way, or they were communicating with these entities on their own and they were aware of them. A lot of the people in the room knew that those entities were there. And I don't know how I knew that. I just knew that I was among a circle of kind of like-minded people, at least. I still had no idea what this was or what it was about or what was supposed to be happening here. So A small person came into the room, androgynous. She was guided by the woman who had welcomed us at the back of the door. And this androgynous looking woman, she was diminutive in size. You know, she had very short hair, like a pixie cut, like Maria Farrow in Rosemary's Baby. Actually, remembering her face right now, I think she really resembles Robin Wright as Claire Underwood in House of Cards. She's pretty, you know, she's got this cool short hair and these beautiful blue eyes, and she's a cool looking lady. So anyway, this was supposedly Dr. Meg. She introduced herself, I believe at the time, as Dr. Meg Blackburn. She's known as Dr. Meg Blackburn Losey now. She told us a story about how she discovered that she could hear voices. I hope I remember her story correctly. You know, maybe she has it on an about page somewhere, and I probably should have researched that, but I'll just kind of butcher it with my version of what I remember that she told us. And she was like in a grocery store the day before Thanksgiving, and she was needing to make a dish or a dessert or something to take to a gathering. It was one of those high pressure day before Thanksgiving shopping trips. And, so she'd forgotten her recipe. You know, she didn't have an ingredients list with her, but she didn't have time to go back and get it. This was an era before, you know, everyone had a cell phone. And so she just had to kind of try in that moment to remember what it was. And she realized that there was a voice telling her what she needed. And she just decided to go with it and kind of trust it. And she was able to buy all the stuff that she needed for this recipe. And, you know, she told us this was just this common everyday situation. But that was the moment she says she realized that there was someone there speaking to her. Long story short, because I can't recall all the details of her personal story, and I'd much rather have her on the show maybe sometime to talk about this, but Meg discovered that she was channeling a group consciousness of ascended master level souls. She referred to them as simply the masters, I believe, which at that time kind of sparked a moment of recognition in me, and it does again now. There's a total tangent here, but in high school, a friend of mine gave me this poem to read one time. She called it a poem anyway. She said she wrote it after meditating on television snow. You know, like the interference patterns you see on old school TVs when you turn to a channel that has no signal. The little girl in Poltergeist famously communicated with spirits through a screen of television snow, which I believe probably inspired my friend to attempt something similar. I just remember in that quote-unquote poem, something called the masters were speaking, and it was a term that disturbed me. Anyway, there was just that moment of blip around the idea of these masters speaking to people. Dr. Meg explained to us what to expect, that she would put herself into a trance and an entity, the spokesperson for the masters, would come in and speak through her body. She said that even though her eyes would be closed, they could see us and hear us and would respond directly to us. I started to stress a little bit about what question I was supposed to ask, you know, what I could ask. What did I want to know? I didn't know in that moment how to articulate it somehow. I guess I just wanted some kind of sign about the purpose of all this for me, where I was heading. Were the spirits communicating with me real? Were they the things that, you know, stood around the back of the room watching over us? Or were they my guides? Or were they these entities that were going to speak through Dr. Meg? It was just kind of like a cloud of questions that I had sort of hanging around the whole concept. Anyway, she dropped into a trance more quickly than I would ever imagine possible, but I assume that she is very practiced at doing this. Her posture changed, her tone of voice changed. I wondered just for a moment if she could be acting, until she stood up and began to pace back in front of us as back and forth in front of us as she was speaking, you know, like as a speaker might do on a dais or a stage giving a TED talk or whatever. Her eyes were closed, and yet she kept making eye contact with individual people. And when she looked at you with those closed eyes, you felt something looking at you. It was almost like there was a visual disturbance for me. I could almost see these large eyes sort of superimposed over the shadowed pits of her eye sockets. And there was a kind of blue light in the room and trails and the sort of halos that you see in near darkness. My head felt tight, like as it might during a plane takeoff and landing, as if it were altitude pressure. I looked around the room at one point as Dr. Meg was speaking to people, answering their questions. They were standing up and sort of calling them out to her, and she would turn and face them again with her eyes closed, but yet she would face them and make eye contact with them, or the entity that was speaking through her would. And I noticed some people had these columns of light illuminating them, like very dim spotlights. Not everyone, only a few of them. Anyway, the content of what she was speaking about was hopeful, it was empowering, it was about the context of the earth at this time and the ascension of humanity, and I honestly don't remember the details. People were rapt, you know, like we were just hanging on every word, and some of the people in the room were extremely emotional. So one of the women who had came with us, who had ridden with me and Bran, stood up sort of out of nowhere beside me and asked a question. And as she was asking her question, I saw that there were these figures standing behind her. And anyway, not long after that, without my standing up or asking a question at all, the entity speaking through Meg turned just a little bit, a few more degrees to me and looked directly at me through those closed eyes and said, "You are already everything you're meant to become. You fulfill your life purpose with every breath you take." I don't really remember very much beyond that point, to tell you the truth. I don't remember anything about the rest of the event or the channeling itself. Probably lasted for 30 minutes, maybe 45 tops. I was just vibrating and floored and just almost blacked out by that message and by the synchronicity, obviously, of how many times I had already heard that. And so I do remember that we were in the car driving back. We were kind of debriefing about the whole event. We were all excited and kind of talking about, you know, the impressions that we had and what came to us. And anyway, the woman who had asked the question told us that she had no intention of doing that. Like, it was just a really spur of the moment thing that she just jumped up and started asking something. And I had to tell her at that moment that I saw entities behind her. And everybody in the car was like, "No way." You know, they wanted me to tell them, you know, what I saw and describe at length and these spirits who were with her. And as they were asking me questions and drawing me out, I just started to talk more and more. And I realized that I had more information. And she started to ask me additional questions. And I was sort of giving her these additional messages, like things that I felt like hadn't been delivered to her, but were waiting to come through. And it just kept going for a while. They all three started asking me more questions, and I was just sort of relaying what the spirits that were around us had wanted them to know. And I realize now that that probably was the first time that I ever really performed a reading like the way that I do it now. The idea that I'm a relay channel, that I sort of act as a translator. You ask a question, I sort of listen for the answer, and then I tell you what I hear. So anyway, like Jesse, Bran kind of ceased to exist after that. I doubt I could find his house now if I wanted to. I've looked for him on social media over the years. He's one of those people that seems to literally have no digital footprint, no presence whatsoever, which is weird. I did find Dr. Meg Blackburn Losey online a few years after I became a professional intuitive myself. I recalled this whole event, and I wanted to kind of contact her and maybe tell her about the part that she'd played in my story. And so when I tracked her down online, I found that she had a newsletter and I subscribed to it. And she actually used to, I don't know if she still does, but she would send out these sort of monthly messages from these entities that she channeled. And anyway, at the time that I found her, she was doing a radio show. And I clicked through and I only listened to a few of the episodes very early on in those first few years that I was blogging. But one of her guests was actually Morgana Ray, who you have heard me talk about before in the context of my book, The Money Shift. And shout out to Morgana. I don't know that she's listening, but I would love to have Morgana be on the show too, and Dr. Meg. Morgana is a friend on Facebook, so I think that I might be able to make that happen. Anyway, I would love for both these women to come on sometime. But the episode with Frank about channeling just brought this all out for me, and I wanted to share it with you guys. I do work with some people in my mentoring program who are channels, and I've heard a lot of response from you guys about how many more people are interested in the topic than I realized. So anyway, I'd love to hear about your experiences if you want to write me and if you have questions about this topic. I'd love to get some more people on to talk about it. That's my channeling story. Thanks again for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, transcripts, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you use to access podcasts. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, you can start the course for free by downloading the attunement at automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message, an answer to a question or a concern you may have. I think this week our message is pretty obvious. It's the message I heard at the lowest point in my life. It's the message that led me here to this moment speaking to you. It's a mantra for everyone seeking a sense of purpose in their lives. You are already everything you've ever wanted to become. You fulfill your life purpose with every breath you take. You're not missing anything. There's nothing from the outside you need to bring in. You have everything you need in this moment to move forward. Maybe it's permission, which you don't require. Maybe it's just a reminder to recommit to the path you've chosen. Maybe in this moment, for the very first time, you will choose to make it so. And I'll talk to you later.